You're listening to episode 328 of the Major Issues Podcast, and on this episode, we go in the Wayback Machine, way before the MCU, 1989, to review Dolph Lundgren's The Punisher. The Major Issues Podcast starts right now! Hello everybody out there in comic book land, my name is George Serrano, aka The Don, and if you're listening to this, you can only be here for one reason, and it's a brand new episode of the Major Issues Podcast, brought to you each and every week by comicbookclick.com, and as always, I am never alone. Sir, if you could please introduce yourself.
It is I, once again, Alex Garcia, aka The Comic OG The Cog. What is going on, Don? How are we going to torture ourselves today?
Well, you know, I'm so happy I got you here. The comic OG, you're wise, you know, beyond your years, and you've experienced things on this earth that I actually have not experienced. Certain comic book releases, certain movie releases, certain casting news. We were talking before about all the smack they were talking about with Michael Keaton's Batman. But I wanted to cover a film. One of the very few, I'm really rounding the corner with this because I probably have, I think the only films I haven't seen yet that are comic book related, you know, big comic book related, like of the big two, are the Swamp Thing films. Never seen the Swamp Thing films. And I think there's an independent Man-Thing film. Somebody, yes. Somebody made an independent Man-Thing film, and I those have always been in the back of my mind. But one of the things that everyone had always mentioned to me was Dolph Lundgren's The Punisher. I say it like it's Tim Burton's A Nightmare Before Christmas, but The Punisher, 1989, The Punisher. Now, full transparency, I was born in 1989. So this, I had never heard of this film. I don't think I heard of this film until I started talking about comics and really getting into it in that sense. This film never had a theatrical release in America. And ironically, I had wrapped this entire schedule around the idea that this would drop on the anniversary, but it turns out that it came out on April 25th, which is when this episode will come out. 1991 in the United States. It came out in 89 in Germany. that's where the film debuted, in West Germany in 1989. So not only, like, that's a year and a half difference in distribution. But yeah, it's ironic that last week we spoke about Daredevil, classic, you know, street level hero, and now The Punisher. Obviously, this is just as classic as Daredevil Yellow, right?
No.
Tell me how you really feel.
Just an absolute no. It's funny that you say this came out in 89, because when I was doing my research on it also, and I saw 89, I was like, I don't remember this coming out in 89. You know, I don't, I lived through the making of this movie coming out, and I was like, could have swore this was a 90s movie. You know, because I remember seeing it on, like, weekend, you know, local channels, you know, Channel 11 back, you know, WPIX, you know, or an afternoon Fox movie back in the day, you know?
Okay.
I remember seeing it on those a lot. And so I was like, I'm pretty sure that was like early 90s. That's, I mean, it still kind of makes sense for 89, I guess you could say, but it didn't seem like it was right. And now you're telling me this. And the fact that it never had a theatrical release in the United States, that just speaks volumes as to what it is we watched. Because for me, I was totally expecting to be more enamored with this as it being a nostalgia trip. This is something I remember watching. This used to come on, I want to say, at least every couple months on the weekends. So I remember watching it a few times. And now I remember why I didn't really remember much about this movie, because it is an interesting watch, to say the least.
Yeah, I had no background on this besides the fact that I had seen the poster 500,000 times. I had no idea what the plot was. And
the movie didn't either.
But I also think of, like, this era, right? Like that Captain America film that we covered here, where the Red Skull is Italian, or Roger Corman's Fantastic Four, which will come out or not come out 3 years after this film. Marvel was in a real rough place with some of these adaptations, and ironically, I'll bring this up here. It turns out that the director said that the controversy, there was a big controversy. Like the biggest controversy when this film came out was like, oh, he's not rocking the skull shirt, like the iconic skull insignia, and he was trying to do something different with the character, like everyone else has ever said when they make a poor decision on changing something fundamental about a character. He says, oh no, we want to do something different with the character other than how he was presented in the comics with a spandex suit. But in hindsight, he regrets not using the logo, which might have helped the film gain a theatrical release. What do you think about that?
Oh, big time. I mean, that I'm gonna make a Spider-Man movie, right? But he's going to wear a black outfit. And he's gonna have ropes instead of a web slingers. What? Yeah, let's take away anything that when you look at the character, you say, yo, that's this character. The Punisher is the skull shirt. That's what everybody knows him as. So to just make him just another guy, another badass looking guy. I mean, at quick glance, you could think you're watching like Cobra, or whatever generic 80s action hero was. So the fact that now you don't have the skull on his chest and you're saying this is the Punisher, it's not the Punisher.
I again, like it kind of speaks to. We're about to get Deadpool and Wolverine soon. That'll be the next theatrical comic book re release that we'll be covering here. And you look at how far Ryan Reynolds has come with the Wade Wilson Deadpool character, and you look at how Fox originally wanted to portray that character in Origins, right? With the mouth sewn shut and stuff. And again, I could see someone being like, well, I got what was in the comics, but we're trying a real look. We're trying a more, a serious take. And it's like, no, you're taking away the fundamental parts of this character that people not only recognize, which is incredibly important, recognition. I believe it goes Superman, Batman, or it might even go Batman, Superman, Spider-Man. It's like the three most recognizable superhero emblems of all time, and that recognition is why those three make bank at the box office. You don't have to speak English to see that and know what that means. And so, yeah, you watch this trailer. Which I haven't seen the trailer for this, but I could assume this looks like every action movie, every 80s action movie that you were just talking about, or what's the one where the guy like trying to clean up the streets for like the rough kill threat Death Wish. Death Wish is Death Wish.
Well, no, at least I mean
Those, well they
to
go
confuse
those go
Dolph
on.
Lundgren with Death Wish. Oh, that's oh, I was thinking this reminds me more of like American Ninja, if you
All
remember
right,
those
all
movies
right.
from back
All
in the
right,
day. Or what were the Chuck Norris ones?
Oh man, gosh.
What were those? Delta Force. Delta Force.
Yes,
There
yes,
you
yes, yes,
go.
yes, 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 yes.
Oh my God, those are just such cheesy, poorly made, low budget action movies where it was just all about show the biggest guns with the biggest dude just making the craziest faces and just mowing people down. And that's what they say. Yeah, let's do that with this. Call it the Punisher, but no skull on his chest. So how do we know he's the Punisher? Because we're gonna tell people he's the Punisher and we're gonna show him punishing stuff.
Punishing thing. And you know what's funny? I just looked it up. I actually thought Punisher was a debuted a bit later. Like I thought this would have been like maybe a 10 years into the character's career they come up with this film. Punisher's all the way 1974. That's huge.
In the pages of Spider-Man. Classic
Yeah.
cover, classic cover.
Got that the sight set on him.
The sights
So
set on Spidey.
this was a $30 million film. Adjusted for inflation, it would be about $75 million today. It made $9 million. But again, my 9 million box office dollars, it did not have a box office release here. Do you think if it what if it would have made any money?
That's crazy. I thought it made more money.
According
In
to
my research.
Wikipedia, yeah, nine million box office to oh no, it's the other way around. God. It's 9 million
Yeah, I was gonna say, I was
budget,
like, it
30 million box office. So it was a success.
was a success, which that's what I'm saying. When I also looked at it myself, I was like, wow, you know, considering how I get, it was trashed by critics. It was trashed by critics. But I'm still surprised that with given those numbers, and at the time, Dolph Lundgren was still a bit of a box office draw, you know, because coming off of Rocky IV, and he would go on to make a movie with Brandon Lee. I forget the name of that movie.
Right, he at this time he's actually a practitioner of martial arts. He's brushing up, and it's actually one of the things that made the stunts in this a bit easier because they hired actual martial artists instead of like martial arts stunt people. They actually like almost competitive martial artists to come in,
Nice.
and with Lundgren's past and experience in it, it made all those fight scenes a bit easier. Even though we'll talk, we will talk.
yeah, no, but so I'm just surprised. I mean, I wonder if a sequel was ever at least entertained, like, hey, let's talk about it, let's get a script going or something,
I
because
think
it
the
makes money.
distributor wanted to do it, but Lundgren was immediately turned off when with the response of it to this. You know, I could see this on paper and being like, this could be my thing. Like a lot of people feel like when they join these superhero franchises, right? Like you
Right.
do this right, you're
Yeah,
RDJ.
but this was before the time of a franchise, you know what I mean? Yeah,
But
back then it
he
was
could have been like what is it, John McClane? Or something like he could have been like
could
the
have been.
Frank Castle could have been like if they would have put some guts behind it, the 90s would have been the time to do it too.
It could have been. It could have been, but yeah,
They
I
shot
mean,
someone's dick off in RoboCop. I think they could have
they
done.
did.
I think this could have
And
actually
that's
been
what that's,
something.
and you know what's funny is in one thing in watching this, because much like you, could you only find, I believe, what I guess what was the overseas cut? Because I think
Oh, is there
what
extra stuff in the overseas cut?
I think whatever we watched, however, I'm pretty sure we watched it the same way because it was the only way to find it.
Right.
I couldn't find it anywhere. I could buy, you could buy the DVD or the Blu-ray on Amazon, which I
Right.
wasn't going to do.
Right. No,
I was
oh
trying to
yeah, I wouldn't
just
have been either.
I was just trying to stream it, and I was only one way to stream it.
Yeah.
And what I noticed, did you, I don't know if you caught this, but a lot of times in the movie, it would, when scenes got a little bloody,
Yeah.
it kind of got grainy. If you caught that.
Interesting. No,
So
I
I
didn't
was,
catch it in my cut.
it,
That's funny.
when I was watching, and it made me think, like, okay, was this perhaps cut out of some country's cut, maybe for excessive violence? You
Right.
know, because if you go back and
I
watch it.
wonder. I wonder about their taste of sensitivity. There's literally at one point, I'm watching this film. I'm looking away to because I'm doing something. It's a talking scene, so I'm not really like I'm paying attention. I'm listening, but I'm not really watching because no nothing's gonna change on screen. And someone just says a slur, and I'm like, wait. I was like, wait a
Oh,
minute.
you
Yeah,
talking about
I
the
was
F
like,
bomb? You talking about the F bomb? Yeah,
I go,
I
what?
know, but I heard that. It's kind of messed up. It's kind of messed up because when I heard it,
Yeah.
I grew up during that time, man. So
Right.
when I
No,
heard
100%.
it was kind
100%.
of,
Come on. Come on. Yeah.
it was, you know, I kept, I, for a lot of people listening, I'm pretty sure we've all heard Eminem, so
Yeah,
we've
yeah,
heard
yeah.
that word. You know
Yes,
what I
we have.
mean?
Yes, we have.
But to hear it now, 2024, is like,
So
whoa.
jarring. It's so jarring. You know what?
Oh.
But you know what's funny that you just saw about the Eminem thing? One of the things that I always think about is it's a lyric in the club, which is a very popular, you know, the very popular, like, hey, it's my birthday. Go shorty, you know, you that trying to pull me back, right? I was like, oh, yeah, that isn't that.
Yeah.
That isn't that
And
song.
the dude who says it in the movie, it's not one of those where he just kind of like mumbles it
Oh
out, or he's,
yeah.
my man like
Yeah.
hits every
Yeah.
letter, every syllable, just like, can we do that again? I want to make sure that you all caught it. You know, I said that.
Right.
It was just like, whoa, he just, no problem.
Let's get this homework out of the way. So, The Punisher is a 1989 vigilante action thriller film directed by Mark Goldblatt, written by Baos Yakin, starring Dolph Lundgren and Louis Gossett Jr. Based on the Punisher character from Marvel Comics, the film changes some details about the character's origin, and eliminates the signature skull logo. Instead, the Punisher uses a knife with a skull on its pommel. That wasn't a better choice. It was shot in Sydney, co-starring Joren Krabi, Kim Myari, Nancy Everhart, Barry Otto. Christopher Lambert was the original choice for the role of Frank Castle, but an ankle injury forced him to retire. Steven Seagal was interested in playing the role, but ultimately didn't get it. And then Nicole Kidman was initially cast. She wouldn't enter a comic book film until she's Dr. Chase Meridian
Yes, sir.
in
Batman
Batman
Forever.
Forever. I'll never forget because that's such a James Bond woman, Bond girl name.
Yeah, right?
Chase Meridian.
Chase Meridian.
I'm like, what? So I have been tiptoeing around my opinion of this film. I have not
You also
at once.
missed the key name in the cast that I totally forgot was in this movie.
Who?
I didn't hear you say Louis Gossett Jr.
Oh no, yeah. That's the only two I said. Dolph Lundgren and Louis Gossett Jr. That's the only
My
two.
bad, my bad. I
You're
missed it. I
good?
missed it.
Yeah, you're good. But yeah, those are the only two. And I've been kind of tiptoeing around, how I felt about this film. Another thing of full transparency has been a bit of a rough week over on my side of things. Sometimes when it rains, it pours. But you can't always be at the top of the Ferris wheel. I completely get that. I decided I put this film off just because I didn't have the general energy, and I ended up watching it last night. And in terms, it kind of reminds me of Scarface. And let me preface what by saying, I remember when you growing up, Scarface is the thing, right? He's the drug dealer, push it to the limit. Remember Cribs? Everyone had Scarface posters and Scarface bedrooms and all that kind of stuff. And when I watched it, I found more joy in watching Scarface, ironically. Like almost as a parody. It's way funnier than people think it is. There's a ton of comedy in Scarface from
Oh,
the
tons, tons.
say you would have you should have just shut up and they would have thought you was a horse and that's what he tells his boy. Would you kiss me if I'm wearing this hat?
You
My
kiss me if I
dream
wear the
is
hat. You
to
kiss me if I wear the hat.
my dream is to put my name on the back of chicks' asses. Like all that stuff is out there and it's funny. And with that it to me it enriches the film. I kind of love this movie. And maybe it's where I was at the time. It continues to just up the ante of ridiculousness for no reason, for no real, for there's no, I remember, moments where my heart like swelled watching Spider-Verse and being like, wow, this thing is to the brim with heart. Like it's literally overflowing out of the movie into me. There's none of that in this.
No.
But I'll never forget it. I don't think I'll ever forget. There's a moment I have saved that I think I'm gonna post when this episode comes out. It's like a minute and 11 seconds of him just machine gunning
Yes.
a casino.
Yes.
Not people, just slot machines and gambling tables. And I'm waiting for it to end. It's like 20 seconds in, 30 seconds in, 40 seconds in. And you're like, oh, I get it. No, I get it. I get the point. Absolutely ridiculous. It might be semi-racist. I don't know. It might be a little bit of racism in it, which is kind of ridiculous. They made a lot of choices, but it has like almost the same charm to me as like Trial of the Incredible Hulk, where it's like to me this movie is a really a really genuine person trying to tell you the Punisher origin drunk. Like just like they're not trying to shit on him. They just don't remember all the details because they've had a couple of drinks. Because they get the mob stuff, right? They get the mob stuff. They get the cop stuff. They get the armory. They get almost a death wish, sort of like if I die, I die. It is what are you doing this for? Kind of stuff. The total revenge. Like it gets. I feel like the bigger parts that it needs to. It almost feels that almost each and every other part and the children in this. I miss 90s child actors and 80s, 90s child actors where they just pluck them off the street, make them say and do ridiculous things. At one point, there's an 8-year-old with a Glock pointed at a grown man's head at the climax of this film.
Yep.
And I'm just like, how did we get here? And where are we going? Oh, and I know a lot of people are gonna watch this because I watched it through my sort of Jack Sparrow channels out there. But when I was looking for a scene to this scene, the scene I was just talking about with the machine gun, the entire film is on YouTube. The whole entire film. And
Well, no, and
on
that's
two
how, and that's
different
how,
channels.
no,
Yep.
and that's how I watched it. That's how I watched
Okay,
it. That's the
okay,
only way.
okay.
That's the only way I could legitimately watch it. I looked for it on Amazon, Netflix, Paramount. I thought it was gonna be on HBO. I'm like, doesn't HBO probably own the rights to this somehow, some way?
Yeah.
Nope. YouTube, clearly put on there, man. So easy. Like, and not even a, and not even an ad, not even a single ad.
Oh, you just went, yeah. Oh, yeah, because no one's making money off the director
Oh.
isn't even make money off of this. The YouTube ain't trying to make no money off of this. Yeah, I can't place it. There's several moments, and even on rewatch, I'm like, this is Kung Pao. This is Naked Gun in some like, but like,
But
can
it
they
doesn't
see
know it.
that? Or you know what
They don't,
I'm saying?
but they don't know it. They
Can
don't know
they?
it. They're convinced they're making a drama because everything is delivered with such false gravitas. Like, oh, but the way they
Yeah.
discuss Frank Castle and
Oh
the
man.
Yakuza and the mafia, everything's like, and it's you. I never once felt like, yeah, no, there's no real stakes here.
Berkowitz in this, Louis Gossett Jr. in this
Yeah, the
is
black guy with
a
the Jewish name, I love it.
yeah, he is. You know that Santa bag, that humongous Santa bag? He's one of those bags full of tropes. He's every single cop trope
Yep.
in buddy cop trope history. And I'm just cracked because it's just coming, and I'm just cracking up because it's all of them. It's every single one you can think of. Yeah, the action scenes, just random explosions. Shake, who's in this for whatever reason, this sidekick that they've come up with that speaks in riddles and rhymes or whatever, the vagrant,
Yeah, the
like
thespian actor,
they just make
you
him
know?
up and they just put him in this because they couldn't use Micro. Like Micro could have done exactly everything that was done in this film, they could have done with Micro and been a bit more, connected to the comic.
I
I like this better
wonder,
than Steel.
it's funny that you say that. I'm trying to think, like, was Micro even a thing yet when this
Interesting.
was?
I'll look that up. Can you think of movies you liked it better than? I liked it better than Steel.
I mean, honestly, yes. Some of these, some of those, this was, it was definitely better than the Captain America movie. I give it that.
1987. I might pick a watch over this over like The Flash. I'll watch this over The Flash. The most
Wait,
recent. No,
oh,
the
the
most
most recent
recent.
movie?
Yeah, the most
Okay.
recent.
I was about to say, wait, the show was great, and I'm talking about the original show. The
You
Mark
know what?
Hamill one.
And maybe I'm misspeaking. When I talk about the rewatchability of this film, it's a 10 in my opinion if you rewatch it with someone who's never seen it. All the times I'm thinking about rewatching this is rewatching this with somebody for the first time and seeing their reaction to some of the stuff that comes up on the screen. I don't know how often I'll be watching this alone by myself unless, I've had a couple of shots, but they tried something here and it's not ever boring in my opinion. Again, we get such long. This is 90 minutes. It goes off in a clip. Even if you're not
No, right, no.
interested,
Yeah, that's
it's
one thing I
over and
really
done
love
with.
about it. 90 minutes. Like you're in and out. Like it's such, anytime I find a movie of this length nowadays, I'm so like, oh my God, thank God. 'Cause I feel like nowadays it's just like my movie has to be at least 2 hours long. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. So that's one thing I felt great about. Like even with at parts where I was like, oh man, this movie's kind of slowing down.
Yeah.
It brought you right back into it with some ridiculous action sequence, and the next you
Yeah.
know, the movie's over.
A random strangulation or two.
Or just a lobby where people practice kendo.
Or a guy throwing balls that have spikes on it at people's necks, which kill them instantly. All right, guys. We've said enough. Let's get full into full spoiler
Let's go
territory.
through this.
A movie worth talking about. Let's get into The Punisher from 1989/1991. So our story begins with the credits overlaid over the labyrinth-like catacombs of the sewer, a place our protagonist Frank Castle calls home, as we will find out. Now that I think about it, this was filmed in 1989. I don't know if this is a Batman thing. Remember when they do that with Batman when they go through the cave?
Oh, true, true.
On second watch, that's what I thought about, that because I remember in Batman it being way longer. I'm like, let's get to the movie, and it's just going through the caves and the credits are coming up, all those people. We got a news report that tells us that Dino Moretti, lieutenant of the Franco crime family, was released from prison and acquitted of all charges in regards to the murder of former undercover police detective and U.S. Marine Frank Castle, his wife Julie, and their two daughters. Although the murders were a result of a mafia car bomb intended for Frank, Dino maintains his innocence. Since Castle's murder, over 125 figures in organized crime have been massacred, but their killer, who is known only as the Punisher, is still at large. Moretti is swarmed at the courthouse, and he claims that he isn't worried about the Punisher. The reason why I laugh, again, immediately starting off Gonzo, 125. The body count starts at 125, 5 minutes into the movie. And I'm like, oh, this is I'm here for all of this.
It just made me go, man, that's a lot of inept police. Can't catch
Yes.
somebody who's killed
I,
125
damn
people
it.
over the
Yeah, oh,
course of
120.
5 years. Not like, okay, well, he blew up a building and killed 125 people like 3 months ago and they're still looking for him. Nah, man, he's been doing this strategically for 5 years.
That's 2.5 a week. Going through in a single year if you wanted to go through it. But yeah, so that, and then of course, news exposition, great. Gets all the
Oh,
information
I
out
mean, the
there.
way this movie, because even before we get into this start, how about the opening credits of this
Who
movie?
are those people? Am I supposed to know who those people are?
I don't
I thought they were gonna be
know.
villains in the movie, but apparently maybe they're just other stars of that studio. One looks like
It
Dick
really,
Tracy. I'm like, it was
yeah,
Dick Tracy in this movie.
it was like they went to the studio, like, yo, we got to start this movie off dynamic. We got to get people in that right mode. You have B-roll of just random people being murdered. And we're gonna
Yeah.
have with it also looked like the opening credits, excuse me, the opening credits of some like Hercules the legendary journeys, where it's these cutouts and things happening, and it just felt like Dolph Lundgren,
Yeah.
Louis Gossett Jr., the Punisher.
Think of
Like, what is going
the
on?
opener. Yeah, think of the opening Marvel signature, but imagine that if it was full of scenes from movies you've never watched. You're like,
With
what? Are these
actors that don't appear in this movie.
No, you're like, wait, what's going on? I swear Dick Tracy was in one of these. I'm telling you. And there's
I
like
mean,
some Asian
are you
names.
supposed to get a feel of like, oh, this is part of the 125 people body count that he's racking up? These are who he's killed,
And
but it's just
all the targets, all the bullseyes.
all the
That's what. That's
targets,
what.
right.
Yeah, very stylized. That entrance there. We see a man clad in black looking on, and that man follows Dino to his home.
Which, okay, mind
Again.
you, they're searching for this guy, and
Yes.
he's
Yes.
literally within 50 yards of the car,
Yeah.
and they people are aware, like, people have to know, yeah, this is probably gonna be a target. This guy was coming out. So, guys, if you don't mind just looking down the block either way to see if maybe this Frank Castle guy is around, yeah, we got you.
He
He's
looks
on a
exactly like
motorcycle.
he did, but somehow, somewhere, and this is the part that is the kicker. Was he dyeing his hair blonde? Or is he underground dyeing his hair black?
That's right.
Which one is it? I want to think he's underground dyeing his hair black, because that makes it even sadder
No,
that he starts
worse. Not
his roots
worse.
in.
Remember, he's living in the sewer, man. It's just shit.
Yes.
There's shit all in his
At what
hair.
point, am I wrong? At one point, he's completely naked.
Yeah, no. He's
He's
that
doing some
that's
sort
how
of weird
he's
ritual.
ritual. Yes, he's just naked Punisher. Looking like he's about to enjoy, some traditional Japanese food, just butt naked on a pillow, just venting, talking to no one. Why,
Yeah.
God? Why? How was the line? What? Why do you
Are you there,
continue?
God? No, I got it. Are you there, God? It's me, Frank. No, that's what it should have been. And then, it was 2 for 1 at the hair dye place. I'm grateful for that. No, at one point he says, "Come on, God, answer me. For years I'm asking why. Why are the innocent dead and the guilty alive? Where is the justice? Where is punishment? Or have you already answered? Have you already said to the world, here is justice, here is punishment, here in me?" On. Again, like, if this is the world we're in, you know what I'm saying? Seatbelt on. This is what this guy's about. I have no idea where this is gonna go next. But yeah, so I had to put that up for, I just wanted to again, like, literally looks exactly like he did. Everyone in the police force would have known him. Is a really big story. 5 years they've been dealing with the mobster who was accused of doing it, and he's outside of that same very courthouse on a motorcycle. The only difference is he has black hair. Can't nobody tell who he is. But he then just out of this fortified gangster's house, he just walks in through the window. And with absolute impunity, just kills all of Moretti's men in inventive fashion. Some of them are stabbed, some of them are strangled, one gets kicked off a staircase, but none of them are given mercy. A crowd forms as news reporters and authorities try to make sense of what's going on inside. Dino steps out of his front door, showing that the inside of his home is now covered in flames. So now I'm like, what the hell's going on now? Then he falls dead with a knife in his back, adorned with a skull, the Punisher's signature. The man himself stands in the doorway, backlit by fire, but disappears before the building outright explodes.
Yeah, and he literally runs off for like 2 seconds, and then the building just explodes. I'm like, man, this guy's great at just surviving massive explosions. Because this is not a small house. This is a mansion. So there's no way he cleared the building and then set up this explosion. Because this is literally like 2 seconds after he exits the doorway. So just the
And
suspension of disbelief.
this wasn't a confirmation of a kill either. This was a rule of cool moment. I'm just gonna stand in front of
Yes.
these flames, let
That's
everybody
right.
see me for a little bit, and then I'm just gonna walk away, work on my branding. Dude, what?
Exactly.
So
You know what? I'm gonna
they,
be. I'm. If only I was wearing a shirt that could stand out, or something that people would
right.
know me
I need a
as.
symbol.
Nah. You know what? I got this. This leather jacket. This leather jacket. That's enough. That's enough.
Who is fashioning his many discarded skull adorned knives?
Right. The good detective work, guys.
Who's
How many
making?
stores in the area do you think make these knives?
Right, and he's picking them up by the 500s. Like, yeah,
Yeah,
another
let's
shipment.
do
Need more knives.
I
But
killed two
yeah,
more people this week.
absolutely ridiculous. And also, like, random a question aside, seeing as this is just a ridiculous conversation as is, can you just die like that from being stabbed in the back? I've seen it a million times in cartoons and a million times in, like, movies. Is that a thing? Like,
I bet you not. I bet you, like, even if you did it precisely between two vertebrae, a person could still
into the
survive.
heart, like through the back of the rib cage
Right.
into the
Okay.
heart,
Maybe
like
it have to be something
it would
like
have to be
that. But
directly.
the way this dude, like, he definitely and considering he's the person that ordered the kill on his family, the three henchmen got it worse. Like one guy got like
Oh, way
stabbed in the
worse.
chest and pulled up. Another dude got hung. Another dude got thrown down the stairs, and I think he shot him first. And then this dude is just like, yeah, I'm gonna slap you around a little bit and then put a knife in your back. Come on, man. Like, to me, that was the thing that this movie was definitely lacking, is there was no like signature kill. Like, cause like an did you ever play the Punisher game on PlayStation back in the
Yeah, that was
PlayStation
pretty
2?
good.
Those torture kills, like you remember those. Those were epic. Hey, look at you smiling. Yeah, they were fantastic. This movie didn't have anything like that, where it's like, okay, let him do like some kind of cool signature kill in some way where, I don't know, puts a grenade in somebody's mouth and kicks him off the ledge and, says something like, you've been punished, something. I don't know. And then have him like do it again for the final boss at the end of the movie. You know, but they don't do it. Everything is so just generic. It's like, yeah, just stab him and hang him and shoot him and stab him in the back and yeah, it'll kill him. It felt too boring. Like, give it some flavor. And they didn't go that way.
A lot of people say that films like this and even Punisher Warzone, like that the Punisher should be more of a Gonzo, you know, all out, almost Garth Ennis, you know, like crazy action, crazy massacre stuff. But the character himself has gotten a lot of criticism, right? For kind of being that one note. How do you feel about this character's shelf life in general when people just kind of like look at him and his one man war on crime? Is this something that you hear 30 years after, you know, after you first got introduced to him and go, yeah, I kind of, yeah, all right, Frank, like, we get it. You know, the whole thing happened. Or do you think he still resonates? Because I think a lot of people have flopped over, like, this whole excessive use of violence and, like, how far do you go and what is the actual, you know, what is the actual toll? What is the actual equation Frank's going for in this instance? I mean, I thought it was pretty brave that they even broached that, right? Where later on his partner's like, what, you know, to what end is all this? You know, like you want to die, then go ahead and die, kind of stuff.
Right.
You can't do that canonically for 40, 50, right, years. You, I think now he's not the Punisher, right? Is that agent?
Yeah, currently Frank Castle is seemingly on another planet helping to like liberate children, because that's what he be in his last official run, he became the head of the hand,
Okay.
and
Yes, yes,
the
yes, yes. I remember
and
this.
then I hear it's fantastic. I didn't read it. I'm sh like I didn't give it a chance, and I'm kind of regretting it because I'm hearing it's great and it's short. And then at the end of it, apparently he ends up at what seems like on another planet. And the newest Punisher is basically it's Frank Castle 2.0. It's the same kind of story. Got I believe an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. His family's killed, and now he's able to go through his own vengeance for his family. I bought those issues and haven't given it a chance. It's only four issues. It's only four issues and that's it. But in general, I think nowadays, especially with the Marvel slash Disney branding, and with the way it unfortunately is being used by the police, you know, or police people like to claim it's being used by the police or whatever your
Whatever,
political
yeah,
stance
whatever
on that
side of
is.
that
Yeah,
you fall
whatever.
on that, yeah.
Whatever. But it seems like they're purposely now trying to push that down. It seems like Marvel, the last 15 years or so, has kind of known that, yeah, the Punisher is one note. And it's more like when people come along saying, hey, look, I have an idea for a Punisher story. And it's like, sure, okay, we'll give you 12, 15 issues, tell your story, wrap it up, and that's it. And then he would show up here and there in other people's books. Because like you said, unless you have a story set, it is hard to keep that kind of story going canonically for an extended series, 40, 50, 60 issues. I think the last person to have that kind of run with the Punisher was, might have been Garth Ennis on, I think, when it was a Marvel Knights slash Max book. I think some other writer did it for maybe like 20 issues or so. Can't
And
remember who.
you even see other writers seeing Frank as antagonistic to the goals of their bright superheroes. There's been multiple occasions in which, you know, some hero is going on a journey and then bumps into the Punisher, who's like, "I'm no, I'm gonna kill your villain," or whatever, you know. Like, and the guy's like, "No,
Right.
you can't be doing that." Like, you know,
Right.
and Frank almost becomes the villain in that instance because he's so, you know, hard set on killing.
Right.
So I thought all that was interesting. Like, I don't know if you're necessarily supposed to feel sorry for the guy. I don't feel sorry for him in this. And supposedly, is that a beard on Dom?
Oh, no. Now, don't get me wrong. I
No.
haven't looked at a
You won't
picture.
justify it with a beard.
Did Dolph Lundgren grow a beard in Creed 2?
I did not see
Didn't
Creed 2.
you terrible person, you. It's a good
I'm seeing
movie.
Creed 3.
Well, I would hope you haven't, considering you haven't seen
I've
part
seen
two.
Victor Creed in Origins Wolverine, Liev Schreiber.
This guy. This guy.
We hunt our own kind, Logan.
Nope. Okay. He does. I figured as much. His son has a beard. I don't think Dolph Lundgren can grow a beard.
They called it a fake beard in something else that I wrote read, but in a weird makeup effect, whatever weird, 5 o'clock shadow they try to give him on top of like raccoon eyes from like supposedly not sleeping,
Oh.
that was supposed to, watch this, that was supposed to be the symbolic skull sunken face symbolism of the Punisher.
So his literal face was the skull. Okay.
Yeah.
If maybe they had better makeup artists than whoever that works on UPN or something, you know what I mean? Because it just looks bad. Like that bad, you could tell it's so just painted
Just the
on.
cheekbones covered in like some brown, like
It's
slightly
just painted
darker
on his
makeup.
cheeks. That you could see the lines around the eyes, and it reminds me of like a desperate Halloween costume where it's like, oh shit, I didn't buy a mask. Hey
Yeah.
mom, give me your eyeliner.
Yeah. No, and
Like,
then you go
and
out
it,
and then you go out there and you're like, oh man, I'm sorry guys, I was late, but I had to get this beard real quick. And they're like, the Punisher doesn't have a beard. What the? Why'd I
exactly.
go through all this trouble?
Well, no, I've just been underground for a little while, so I got a 5 o'clock shadow.
I've been underground for 5 years and I have a 5 o'clock shadow. That's a testosterone problem. Mine will come in, it won't be pretty, but it will
Looks
come
like
in
somebody just
5 years.
smacked you with some shoe polish, man.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Counting the hairs. So we go into the sewers and find the Punisher, who is revealed to be bum bum bum, the thought to be deceased Frank Castle, in a sort of ritual, naked in front of candles, haunted by the deaths of his family. Again, he says that whole thing where he's talking about God, him being punishment. What do you think about the death reenactment?
Oh my goodness. It was so just overblown and dramatic. And then seeing, like
Wouldn't
you
he
just
have
said,
died? He would
seeing,
have died, right?
oh, I mean, he comes to the door of the car and it just explodes. This tiny little car. They must have put 80 pounds of C4 in it. And I'm just you just look at it and go, how the hell did he survive this explosion?
Well, now we
They
know
don't
he got
talk.
scarred on his face. He got scarred on
He
his
got, yes.
cheeks. That's what.
Doesn't make
That's
sense.
what,
And his hair
and
got
his
blown
hair.
black.
Yeah.
His hair went
Ah,
from blonde to black.
poor Frank. Poor
It,
Frank.
yeah, it just makes it made it was so just overblown dramatic.
I'm like, how? I'm like, okay, obviously the car's gonna explode. How is he gonna get away from it fast enough when he's running up right up on it? No, none of that.
Yeah,
It's not a
and to
thing.
me, like they never make you care about the family, except for the fact that they're dead. To
Yeah.
me, if I would have written that scene, I would have made it like, okay, they were all together as a family, and it was a situation where like, okay, you guys go in the car, I'll meet you out there. I gotta like use the bathroom real quick, or I forgot my
Yeah.
keys or my wallet. I'm gonna go run up and get my wallet, meet you in the car. That way, and then like taking that time, show some kisses, show him playing with his kids. They go, you know, and then because he's late, like of course, because they're really trying to get to him. He's a police officer, they're not just trying to kill his
Yeah.
family. He gets to the car late, and then the car explodes as he's like walking towards it, anticipating like he's maybe sees, you know, one of that guy's henchman's car in the distance, and then realizes, oh shit, I better run to my car quickly, and like they must be here to kill us. And then the car explodes. The fact that he's coming home late from work or something,
Yeah, right,
and
yeah.
then for some reason, he's running toward the
Toward, yeah.
car. It's like, where'd you park,
She's in the
man?
parking lot. Yeah, she's in the parking lot for some. Yeah, but he's running towards the car, but she's in the parking lot.
That's what I'm saying. Like she's in like the driveway of her house, and then he's running toward the car.
Your suggestion
Why?
sounds a lot like the Thomas Jane version. Did you dig that version of
Oh, I
how
love
they
that
laid that
movie.
out?
The Thomas Jane. I would have loved the franchise to come out of that. I still don't. Did it bomb? Is that what happened? Did it not do
No, I
well?
don't think so. I'll check that out, but talk to me more about how you felt. Well, one thing, okay, obviously biased, that origin story takes place in Puerto Rico. So there's a little bit of me that's like, that's super tight. Gang, gang. But yeah, how do you feel that origin depiction improved on not only what they were shown here, but I guess, oh, even the comic book version?
Right, I mean, because the first thing they do is they make you care about who Frank Castle is. They establish him, they establish his family, they establish he has a bond with these people, that he's not just this person you immediately introduce as a sociopath who's gone on a killing spree of 125 people in 5 years. You know? So they make you care about him as a person. This movie, he's just a killing machine. And you don't get any idea of him being a person until like much like almost halfway through the movie when he's like saving the kids that he himself doesn't even give a shit about.
Yeah.
The thespian had to be like, hey, you know these kids are caught in the crossfire. I
And
only
he's like,
care for the
yeah.
guilty.
Yeah, I was they bring up the Arab slave trade in this film several points in suggesting that these kids are going to be sold into slavery. Usually it's just ransom and, the threat of death, which is grim enough as it is, but constantly on the table in this film is the threat of slavery, which I thought it was a bit of
We gotta
a
up the
wrinkle.
ante, baby.
I thought that was a bit of a wrinkle. And we're not the only ones that find Frank a bit of an enigma. He's such an enigma that there's an entire Punisher task force unit in the police department. It's
Whole task
headed
force.
by Lieutenant Jake Berkowitz, played by Louis Gossett Jr., who seems to think that the deceased Frank Castle is actually alive and is masquerading as a vigilante known as the Punisher in a one-man war for revenge. Everyone at his office thinks he's crazy, though, and he receives a warning about his conspiracy theories. Maybe I wouldn't think he was crazy, and maybe they also shouldn't have thought he was crazy if everyone knew that his partner was Frank Castle.
And that's just that. Don't they know this? Like, you can't hide that.
But they hid it from us, right? So it just looks like a guy with a conspiracy theory. I think he's that other guy. I think he's
But
that other guy. And then
here's the
he's like,
thing I
oh,
hate
by
about
the
this
way, I know his
conspiracy theory.
family.
Here's the thing I hate about this conspiracy theory. Why is there a Punisher task force if there's a conspiracy theory?
You're right. If it's not real, like,
Right.
and why would you have the crackpot be the head of the Punisher, the man of the Punisher staff?
You know what I
Oh,
mean?
maybe this is like busy work stuff. They're like, oh yeah, put
Oh
Berkowitz on the
right,
Punisher,
we
on
can't
the
make him
Punisher beat.
retire. We'll give him this what do you call
He smells
that?
of alcohol. We're gonna give
Hey,
him
right.
this busy work, this
It's
this
never
little
gonna go
task.
anywhere. He's never gonna
Yeah.
interfere with anybody else's real cases. He's
There
gonna
he
go
goes,
chase
putting
this
more pins in
ghost.
his map. He's putting
That's
more red
it.
pins
Like,
in his map
look,
over
he found more shells in the street. They must be the
there.
Punishers.
Damn it, Frank.
Damn
Yeah,
it.
Frank.
Yeah, Frank, exactly.
Yeah, that's what it was. See, we figured it out. That's what they were just placating old Berkowitz.
Why doesn't anybody come to lunch with me? our lunch breaks are different times.
And again, there might have been a bit of, racial bias. They like to put a lot of dark cops in these situations where they're being doubted, right? Where no one's really putting them in any kind of situation. And a person almost as, on the
But
totem pole.
he's not black, he's Jewish.
Oh, yeah, he is Jewish. So he's double the minority, which
He's
means
double the minority. Oh my God. Oh my God,
we
I
have to
totally
pair
didn't think
him
of
with
that.
another. We have to pair him with another minority, Detective Samantha Leary. Here's a
That's
smart
right.
white woman to give old
To give old
Berkowitz,
Berkowitz.
to soften his corners, because he's a bit rough around the edges. And he's like, "Screw you! I'll never work with you. I don't need a partner. I'm done with this. I don't need you, and I'm getting out of here." And she's like, "I think the Punisher is Frank Castle." And he's like, "Yo, get in the car, girl. What are we talking
Oh,
about? Like,
you
when I
speak
see
in
you
my
walk,
crazy language.
yeah. Report to the Punisher task force at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. It's in my tree house. We're gonna figure this whole thing out."
Make sure you say the password. It's Frank Castle.
What'd you think of Samantha Leary as a character? This
Oh
hacker,
my God.
first of her
She's to
class.
she's totally here to be what can only be defined described as 19 early 90s attractive woman. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? Because what does she do for the plot?
Nothing. Nothing really.
Nothing.
And I don't really think.
There's even a point in time where I'm thinking, oh, she's gonna be like the micro of the movie, right? Because
Yeah.
she's doing all this computer work that like immediately Louis Gossett Jr. Berkowitz is just like, man, I already did all that stuff that that computer's doing.
Yeah,
Like, oh,
yeah.
just dash this woman's purpose away.
I kept wondering if she was gonna reveal to be like a relative of the mob, or maybe she was
Right, an
related to Frank
informant.
Castle somewhere down the line. So that's why she's super down on this. But no, just another crazy person in the street, in the streets of Seattle.
Is that the city they claimed it was? Because I was
This
trying.
city is, well, it was filmed in Seattle. They didn't have enough money to film in New York, and that's why New York has never
No,
stayed in
this
this.
wasn't. I thought this was filmed in Australia.
Or, sorry, so then it's filmed in Australia It's mentioned to be Seattle.
Really?
Yeah, you know, the Punisher's hometown of Seattle. That's why they go
But
to Coney
then,
Island at one
well,
point
that's what I was gonna say. Because they
in
go to what looks I what's funny is I purposely watched this movie with my 14-year-old son.
Okay.
Purposely, just so that if I was experiencing any levels of nostalgia and was letting it blur my
He
visions of
could
this
pull you
terrible movie,
down.
he could pull me down. And he goes, "Poppy, they're trying to say this is New York." I go, "Why do you say that?" He goes, "Look, it says Coney Island." I'm like, "Get out." Like, how much money did they spend to make that? Because I'm
Right.
like, unless there's a Coney Island supposedly in
Seattle,
Australia,
Washington. That's a cool.
because.
They do they he drives around Luna Park in his motorcycle. But it's Seattle. There's never any other buildings in New York mentioned, any famous bridges, streets, none of that. Absolutely none of that. So yeah, they kind of had to settle on Seattle, which is, again, like no skull. It's like, all right, no New York, maybe, because he does. Is he in San Francisco in the Thomas Jane one? He's not in New York.
I don't
I feel
remember.
like I remember him and the duster jacket and the car on the Golden Gate Bridge for some reason. Maybe I'm putting those images together in my head, but I feel like we had a zoom out of like the and I will always be the Punisher and I'm broken, and he had that going on in the background. I thought that's what went on, but yeah, I'm just replacing memories in my head here.
So it was filmed in Sydney. But I guess I didn't catch that they ever said Seattle. I
Yeah.
didn't catch it because I was convinced that they're trying to push this as New York.
Right. Or
You
it's also
know.
like, but it's also like The Crow, where it's just like a indistinguishable city, like the
Right,
city,
and that's what I
you
and
know?
that and that's and that's what I thought they were gonna stick with. Like, okay, it's just indistinguishable. It's a city, it's a metropolis of some kind, and cause you
Yeah.
never heard it. But then the fact that, like, okay, they must have made that Coney Island sign at
Right.
that adventure amusement park, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, they never clearly say
No.
New York. I didn't catch them. I didn't hear them say Seattle. I didn't catch that,
Oh,
even though there was a lot of bad audio and mumbling in this movie,
by the way,
except when they said.
I love the rating on this film. It needed to be this. If it would have been less and they had to cut around any other cursing or any other blood stuff, I probably wouldn't have liked this film a lot less. The idea that they're talking about Frank with such severity, and there's times where Louis Gossett Jr. is like, damn it, I'm tired of this shit as much as anybody else is. It's
No, I mean
having me
that's one thing you
crack
got to
the
give
hell
it
up.
credit for because think about like the MCU didn't have the balls to do this.
No.
You know, I mean
Still ain't got no
not
curse in Frank Castle. Even
no.
the 2004 one was PG-13, I gotta say. It wasn't rated
Yeah.
R.
I think what was Warzone rated R? I'm pretty sure it had to
Rose
be.
Warzone was rated R, yeah. At one point, you see a
Yeah.
man in a glass bottle machine get his face chewed up quite severely. And I'm like, I was wondering if this Franco guy was supposed to be, we were getting there with that, but no.
Nope. Yeah, I thought so too. I was like, are we gonna get a jigsaw here? What's going on?
Yeah.
Nope.
Nah. Like, who's Jigsaw? So, Kingpin, Gianni Franco comes out of retirement because of the Punisher decimating the various crime families in the city. His plan is to unite whatever is left of these families and consolidate power. He sets up a massive drug buy that he will split between families as a peace offering. We are then introduced to Shake, a vagrant who loves booze, talks in rhymes, and acts as Frank's eye and ears on the ground. He tells him of the drug buy at the docks and that the families are coming together. This is all Frank needs to set his sights on the docks. Unfortunately for Franco, the Yakuza have been keeping an eye on the goings on in the organized crime world and know that he and the other families have been weakened. They arrive at the drug deal, massacre the various members of the mafia before meeting with the heads themselves. Led by Lady Tanaka, the Yakuza make it plain as day that they are there for a hostile takeover. When the mafia questions why they will ever work together, Tanaka says she's working on an insurance policy. We then see various young children of the mob being kidnapped by the Yakuza and held for ransom. The mob agrees to go to war with the Yakuza. So there's a lot that just happened there, but
Yes.
I wanted to seal that block, close that door so we can talk about it.
It's so much happens in the beginning in these scenes where the shipment of drugs come in, right?
Yeah, 60 kilos of pure
60
bam
kilo.
bam or whatever.
Like immediately just all hits the fan, which is what I get that you have to appreciate about this movie. They don't delay things. They just get
No.
right into it. They just get
No.
right into it. And Frank doesn't even see it coming. He himself is just like, oh, he's thinking he's just gonna intercept the Italian mob, the mob, and now he's got to deal with ninjas.
Yeah.
These damn ninjas. These ninjas
Was
just showing
it,
up out of nowhere.
would it have been a step too far to have just made this the hand?
It would have been nice, but I think they wanted to just keep it to mafia.
Yeah.
There was
Because
to
this is
throw in
also
the
the
hand.
car, a bit of a cartoonish Yakuza at points as well. You
Oh,
know,
big time.
like cinema Yakuza, like cinema Yakuza, like what people, you know, the caricature of that
Yes.
kind of same way a lot of these mobs, hey, oh,
Oh
hey,
yeah.
get another piece of
Hey
cheesecake.
yo. You know what I
You
mean?
know?
And they give these mobsters the worst dialogue, man. At one point on
Oh,
the dock,
absolutely terrible.
two of them are going at it. And you
Yeah.
think this is a chance to give you some good flavor, some good insults, some good something between these guys, like a banter between like a Joe Pesci and a Robert De Niro almost.
Yeah.
Two guys literally go, "Fuck you. No. Fuck
Yeah.
you."
Yeah.
Just
Yeah.
like somebody
Hey.
wrote that. Somebody wrote that.
You go, hey, what are you dealing with over there? I don't know, kidney pains. I gotta pee or something like that. One of them
Then
says.
take a
And I'm like,
piss.
yeah,
Then take a piss. Like,
what is going on here? It kind of reminds me of when you play Batman and hover above the villains for a little bit and they're just talking some random
yeah.
nonsense. Yeah. But I like the Lady Tanaka character. I think she is as cartoonish a villain as she can be. I like the little stabby pinky ring thing that she rocks. And I like her dialogue and like her dialogue across the board. She's like, "You Americans are so, you know, obsessed with violence. I'm just about to take over this whole thing." Just like what as she's talking to them, she does. I guess just her expertise was impressive because she does literally topple like all the mob, and later on she gets them to meet her and then kills the rest of them.
Yep.
You know, that's what I'm saying. So I'm just stepping back and I'm like, in a better world this would have been a cool leader of the hand who did this, in a world where they wanted to set up a open, you know, a world building. But this is not about that. This is not even
No,
close to
no,
being
no.
about
And not
that.
just
But
that, if you introduce the hand, I could see them. I could see whoever's, because as you can see, they didn't really care about comic book lore
yeah,
or anything.
the lack of skull said a lot
Exactly.
about that.
So to me, if a person was to research the hand, they would be like, no, supernatural stuff, all types of mysticism. Nah,
Yeah.
I could totally see them seeing that and just be like, why don't we make the hand a Yakuza? Yeah, that makes sense. That
Yeah,
makes sense.
yeah,
Just make
yeah.
it a Yakuza.
You mean
This
like
is
the
not about
Yakuza? That's all one person said in the
that.
meeting. You mean like the Yakuza? Yeah,
Perfect.
the
Perfect.
Yakuza.
How much do we know about Japanese culture? Absolutely nothing.
Eh? We could make
They
one a
like it.
geisha at the end. I
Right.
guess.
Right. And they like that kendo stuff, right? Yeah. They
They
do it
do it
in the
all
all the
the
time, right in the lobbies of buildings. I've walked into buildings where I've been like, yo, can I just walk through, please?
Yeah.
Thank
But
you.
I mean, you also got to
Kendo
know
here.
one of the key things, the secret to the Yakuza, their real weakness is a pile of swords. If you're ever able to
Oh.
push somebody
Just put somebody.
onto
Oh.
a pile of swords, instant kill, instant kill. Again, I can't talk about even the ridiculous of this movie without smiling, which, you know, that's the best part about being entertained with this kind of stuff. So Berkowitz tells Leary that he's been hunting the Punisher for years with nothing to show for it. Leary shows some expert computer skills, but ultimately, like, now I was just thinking what you're saying. So initially, she's like, "I'm gonna try to find the Punisher." He's like, "God damn it, woman! I've tried many times to find the Punisher, and I can't find that bastard." And then she's like, "I think he's in the sewers." And then it just cuts. And she tells him,
That's it.
"Oh, I think I found him, and he's in the sewers." She's like, "Well," he's like, "What?" And then later, they just go with flashlights. I don't know if they got permission from the cops. I don't know if they have their guns or badges on them. They're like in
The
raincoats,
Punisher
and they
Task
just,
Force don't gotta write
yeah.
nothing down.
Damn it, we don't
We
need
just
no
do.
stinking badges.
And what I love is the entire time there's a Punisher Task Force, we only ever see two people. Right? One of them just showed up.
Again, they're in the
I'm a
corner of the room. Yeah, give
yeah,
him his space.
just give him space.
Give
Give him
Berkowitz
space.
his space. He's doing his
But
task
another thing I
force
want to
stuff
talk about with
again.
Berkowitz is, man, this dude's clothing.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. You've seen Chappelle's Show, right?
Yeah.
You know, whenever Chappelle's Show, when Charlie Murphy would have those flashback stories of how everybody's like,
With
oh
the
yeah,
big
back
suits.
in the, with the big suits and the ridiculous outfits. Like this
Yeah.
dude, the first thing he wears is that giant leather jacket that's like five times too big for him.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, who in the costume department said, yeah, this is the way to
Yeah,
go?
they're just giving him this whole like he's unorthodox, but he gets it done. But he also doesn't get it done. Like if we see, yeah, he's been for
For
5 years,
five
he's not
years,
got,
he hasn't done
anything done.
shit.
He has
I've
got
been
anything
collecting
done.
shells and skull
You're
knives everywhere, man. Putting
taking
pins all
another,
over this map.
lunch, Berkowitz. We can take some. We can do some coffee. Oh yeah. I'm
Yeah,
about to go right after this, Frank. I think I
I'm
know
gonna go
it's Frank.
investigate this next plot pinpoint over here. They got a Starbucks over there, I think. Sure. We're in
Yeah,
Seattle. We're
well,
in
on the way
Seattle.
back, if you can get us some bagels, that'd be
Yeah.
great. So, Shake meets up with Frank again to tell him what the Yakuza is up to. But Frank, knowing the world thinks him dead, is eager to see the crime families just kill each other. When Shake mentions the kidnapped children, I put that Frank eventually changes his tune, but he just drives away and, without telling anyone, decides that he's gonna change his tune. There's no like moment of like, you're right. He just drives away, and then next thing you know, he's at the casino, in a hilarious scene. But before we get there, a scene that was absolutely unnecessary, quite literally. I need you to explain to me why this scene is in this film. There is a scene in this film where they have the captured children argue and fight amongst themselves in a cage while they're captive. They're just yelling like, "Your dad is a snitch." Well, your dad. It's not as big of a
And
monster
not
as
just
my
that,
dad.
but you can tell it's like it had to
ADR.
be re ADR. Yes,
Yeah.
where it's just like, no, her she's not saying that, or she didn't say it loud enough on the initial recording or something. It's so bad. Like you said, these are probably like the
Bizarre.
kids. Like, for why? Why is this to make us care more about the kidnapped children? They're kidnapped children. We care. We don't need extra reason. And then not just that, but let's make them have infighting.
Yeah. And then Lady Tanaka shows up, so she starts to like reassure these kids because they're obviously terrified and she's gonna sell them to the slave trade. So she needs them to be
Obviously.
cooperative. So then she pulls out some candy. She starts to give it to these kids, but Franco's kid tries to fight her. Like he pushes her over and tries to fight her. He gets like backhanded for his efforts. And then they like drag they drag him off and cut scene. We're done there. So I'm like, what did this do? It gets him into a different cell, right? I guess that's what happens because Punisher
Oh
goes
yeah,
and
because that yeah, that
separates
sets
one
it up for
cell.
later on. That sets it up for later on when Punisher does do
Ridiculous.
the rescue, so that like there's a reason why he's separate, and that leads to a whole nother thing,
Yeah,
another
and also
issue.
all the Punisher's dialogue, he's doing his best Sylvester Stallone as
Oh,
Rocky.
definitely. It's like, hey, my hero who whooped my ass in my theatrical debut. I'm gonna
Yeah.
emulate him because
Sprinkle a little
that's my
bit of that.
hero. That's my hero.
The Punisher makes it a point to attack several Yakuza gambling businesses, warning that for every day the children are held in captivity, he will inflict heavy costs on them in the form of property damage. And he does just that. The next day, Berkowitz finds out that.
I barely understood when he said those lines. I was like, what the hell did
Oh
he
yeah,
mean
I
about
had
that
to
guy?
watch it back. I watched it more back, like I said, when I recorded just a minute and 15 seconds of him gunning down.
Yeah, and then yeah, he
Like Gary says, you may not think, I
just
know you're listening to this people, and you may not think a minute is a long time, but a minute is quite a long time watching somebody shoot a gun.
do the
It's
same thing. Just
very long time.
and like you say, every time you think, okay, now he's gonna stop or reload or something. Nope, just
Yeah.
boop, boop,
Then he
boop,
turns and
boop,
starts
boop,
shooting
boop,
the
boop.
bar. Like he gets
Yep,
tired of
shoots to the
shooting the machine,
bar,
so he
shoots.
turns and shoots the bar.
I love the
Like,
fact that like later on in the scene too, like you start to see people, and I'm like, there are still people standing around while this maniac is unloading with this giant machine gun.
right. Yeah, there's
Move.
the yeah, because he shoots for like 40 seconds and then you see somebody eventually get hit with like
You're
maybe
like, oh.
an exploding Thought machine. But it's like, wait, you were there for the other 30 seconds of him unloading this gun? What's going on here?
Maybe he
This
was
is
having the
ridiculous.
same thoughts we were. Like, there's no way he's gonna do this for more than like 10 seconds.
Yeah, that's
Like,
what it is.
holy crap.
Everyone's waiting for him to stop. Sir, this is not even owned by the Yakuza. This is a Chuck E. Cheese. What are you doing? What are you doing? You've killed Chuck E. Cheese. The next night, like I said, Berkowitz finds out that the Yakuza are involved, and Leary tells him about the kidnapped kids. I love this scene. I love this scene because he's like, "Oh, the heads of the mafia, all their kids have been kidnapped, and the number one suspect is Frank Castle." And he's like, "No, it ain't. It ain't
No, it
him."
ain't.
And she's like, "What do you mean it ain't him? Damn it, it ain't him." And she's like, "But how do you
That's
know that?"
enough.
He goes,
That's enough for me.
"Yeah." And then he just shows the picture of his kids there. But this is such a, like, they've done this a million times, right? The inside man, Gordon, or Yorick, the inside man is being told that the perpetrator is the vigilante, and they're like, "It totally isn't. Like, trust me. I know it may seem, because the guy's crazy at night, goes and tries to kill people, but trust me, this time
He
it's
won't
not
cross
them."
that line because he had children. No, this is a sociopath, man. This guy's
And we
is
also
not
still don't
cute.
know if it's Frank. We still don't know if it's
Right.
Frank. So your rules may not apply because we don't know that it is the guy that you said it is.
And I don't know.
Absolutely.
It seems like the easy way to get to all these people he doesn't like and all these crime bosses, kidnap their kids. It kind of makes sense. We're doing this
Yes.
detective work, detective work. We're kind of
Yeah,
trying
because
to
Leary
connect
would have
stuff.
in that instance, Leary would have said, "So you're telling me he wouldn't kill their kids because they killed his kids? That doesn't track for me. This is a revenge tour, right? And he's trying to
Right.
get back at them for killing his family, and you're saying that's a reason why he wouldn't kill their
Wouldn't.
family? Yeah, not tracking. I'm gonna talk to your boss because obviously this Punisher task force has been being run into the ground." Shake directs Frank to the location he believes the children are being held at. This is where we get the shots at Luna Park. He surveys the area, but it's ultimately ambushed, and it just becomes a big firefight where no one hits it. Well, Frank hits a couple people, but I've never seen so many bullets just absolutely showered in just a general direction. No
Yeah.
one's trying to hit anyone. They're just trying to shoot at each other. They're not trying to shoot
That's
each other.
it. And he's got a shotgun. He's just pow,
And
pow,
it go
everywhere.
and it goes on for a while. And then at one point he gets like some hand to hand with like some of them, they get a bit of clothes. Then he gets on his motorcycle, but they throw a chain, so it makes him flip and fall over. Then a Yakuza member unmasks, and it's a woman. Was that a reveal I'm supposed to understand?
Yeah, honestly, the first time I saw her face, I was like, "Oh, it's the detective. This is the twist in it."
Yeah.
And then after when I saw her again, I'm like, "Oh, it's that girl, the daughter, that the adopted daughter of the Yakuza boss." Like,
The mute one.
yeah.
Okay. On second watch, I caught the idea of her having a mute daughter. But
Right.
yeah, very strange. You would have thought in another instance, like, that would have been the person trying to seduce him or whatever, and then it's
Something,
revealed,
right.
whatever.
Like
But when
I
they pull the mask off, and I'm like, it's a reveal, but I don't know what
It
that's
right.
revealing.
It feels like such a dramatic reveal that my instinct was, "Oh, it's the detective, and she's really
Yeah.
got long hair." It's like, no, this is a much younger girl.
This
Oh,
is a
it's
woman
that
we've never
daughter,
seen,
because
who
I
has
don't
been
think,
spoken about in dialogue.
yes, because I don't think she has a single line in the movie, or she might say like
No.
one or two words. I believe she was a model. I think I guarantee you, probably
They
like the
and
director.
they went backwards, like they hired the model, realized she couldn't act, and they put it in the script that she had a mute daughter that doesn't speak.
Exactly. Or yeah, I guarantee you the director or somebody was sleeping with this woman. It was like, "Yeah, I can get you in a great movie. We'll
Yeah.
make you into a star." And it's just like, yo, she
I'm
can't
telling you,
act.
girl, you'll have knives in your shoes when I'm done
No, how about throwing daggers for earrings?
Yeah. Oh my God.
Stupid.
Never try to hold the phone with your head, girl.
Yeah,
Take your
you might
jugular
just
out.
it's like
Start
Paul
bleeding
Whiting killed me.
out. Oh, it's all over. He's being what the funny is when he They throw the chain, motorcycle flips, he falls over. Then they just beat on him for like a minute. They
Just
just,
curb stomp
and the
his
shots
ass.
are all a punch, him reacting, and then a cut to another punch and him
Yeah, I
reacting.
know. It's like what you were telling me before, where apparently he has like martial arts training. I'm like, not by this movie standards, because these
No.
guys, these ninjas are coming at him, and he's just hitting them with the Drago straight punch, just block punch block
Yeah.
punch. It reminds me of the Community joke. The what is this? Punch kicker,
Oh yeah, kick puncher.
kick puncher, kick
Kick
puncher.
puncher, yeah.
I'm like, that's all this guy does.
He's not great at this. And he eventually he gets knocked out and he gets taken to Lady Tanaka for some good old fashioned torture. When
Torture
Frank
rack.
doesn't when Frank doesn't break, and also there's a scene of her like touching his chest or whatever. Apparently that was a is it Haley Atwell? Her name Haley Atwell,
You're talking about Agent Carter?
yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a very famous story that when they do the reveal of Captain America, when
Oh
the
yeah,
scene
that was
opens up,
she was just fascinated. She was like, oh my God,
yeah, she
she
touches
wasn't
his
supposed to do
body, and
that. And they
supposedly that
left it in
was,
the
yeah.
movie.
So supposedly it was same thing with her in this Lady Tanaka with the nail on the like going down his body. She was just so impressed with his physique that she just had to run his her hand down his body. At one point
I
it
mean,
goes
don't get me
pretty
wrong.
low.
Dolph Lundgren is a how do you say it? An Adonis of a man. I can say that. I can say I'm confident in myself. The dude is
Damn right.
even Sylvester Stallone has gone in interview saying like it was easy to want to hit him because the dude was so perfect. You know, like he's perfectly good looking guy, perfect physique. He's freaking like 6'8". And on
Yeah.
top of that, he's a genius. The dude is
Yeah.
a chemical engineer with like his doctorate in chemical engineering. Like, but he made this movie.
He did. He agreed to the several parts of this film, including, like I said, getting stretched. The camera goes, like, follows her finger as she's going down his body, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's the next thing to threaten, right? I'll take out your little castle. But no, she's like, I'm gonna beat up the vagrant, the homeless man that you hang out with. That'll tell you,
That you
teach you
feed
your lesson.
alcohol to and just disregard like
Yes.
99% of the time. That'll make you
Purely for
care.
information to kill other people. I'll put him up, and then but no, he breaks out. He literally like screws off the nuts
Yes, just
of his shackles.
you'll never notice me doing this.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, he manages to break free. He saves his informant, which is what I'll call him forever.
Bro, no,
Berkowitz.
hold on. We got to slow down this scene because this is what happens. He
Go
gets
ahead.
one hand free.
Yeah.
He then like these the classic dumb bad guys, right? He calls, "Hey, I gotta tell you something. You gotta come over here to get close to me." And they come like right on top of him, to which he suddenly now has both his hands free.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Without
I'm
any
just like, "Oh,
explanation of
this
the
is
other one.
great." And
Yeah.
he just takes the gun, starts shooting.
Yeah.
It's just like, wow, okay.
They didn't
Great
stand a
editing, guys. Great
chance.
editing.
They didn't stand a chance, bro. They didn't stand a chance. Berkowitz and Leary check out Frank's hideout, and he confesses to being a recovering alcoholic. When everyone gave up on him, Frank Castle didn't, and they became partners on the force. That's why he won't give up on Frank. I thought that was a pretty good. That's like the most heart this has, right?
No, you can definitely, I mean, it's Louis Gossett Jr. This is the
Yeah.
man who did Officer and a Gentleman. He was in all of the Iron Eagles, even though the only one that's worth a damn is the original one. He's done. He's this. This you know, we recently lost Louis Gossett Jr. So may he rest in peace. This is
Very
the man
recently, yeah.
who knew how to act. Okay, this is a very good actor, classic actor. How he got wrapped up into this movie, I don't know. It to me, it's a Raul Julia kind of thing where it's like, okay, I'm gonna. I could see that happening. Maybe like he had a kid or a grandkid at the time. It's like, oh, my favorite superhero is the Punisher. Hey, pop, pop, you know, can you make this movie? Okay, sure, I'll do it for you. And you can see he's bringing his acting chops to the movie wherever he can. And this was a scene where you definitely see that. So you're right. This is where like, okay, you see something, and then it quickly goes back to Dolph Lundgren, and you're like, oh, there it goes.
I think, like you were saying, I think that's the most apt description I can give. It's Raul Julia in Street Fighter. You know, like it's a you see semblance of brilliance, and he's uplifting the, because he's showing the frustration with everyone not believing him, and he's show and he may be crazy, but he's crazy because he's crazy about the one person who didn't give up on him. So
Right.
why would
He's
he
like, I
give up on
need it.
them in this instance? You know, like.
Yeah, and I like the way he puts it too. He's like, oh, you know, I wanna, you know, this guy helped me get out of my hole, so I'll get some shit on my shoes to try to
Yeah.
help him out. I was like, okay, I like the way he put that. I like the way he put
There's
that. You know,
something that goes on later. We'll talk about it. There's something that goes on later that I was like, all right, he took, yeah, this man knows what he's doing. He took this exactly where he needs to. The various mob families meet with Lady Tanaka in hopes of getting their children back, but Tanaka guns down their forces and reveals that the heads of the families have been poisoned before shooting the only mobster who didn't take a drink in the mouth.
yo, and did you catch the cast of characters who just unloaded on
The
these?
randos in the back behind them,
Just
the
completely random. One woman who I'm convinced was an extra in Golden Girls, because this it looked like some grandma. Like, just
right.
it talk about just having her having control of the entire city, I guess. It's just
Yeah.
showing the flex of the Yakuza. Like, oh, you think we just have Japanese working for us? We got some white people. We got a black guy. We
Yeah.
got some Spanish guy. Oh, we even have this 60-year-old elderly woman who's gonna
He's
stand up and
on deck
put
with
a
an
cap in here.
Uzi. You know what I'm saying?
Just like,
Grandma's good with
yo,
an
the whole restaurant of this just oh this mix of people. It's just like, no, the Yakuza, we got affirmative action in full effect with our mafia, whereas
Well,
you
they're
guys are
talking. They're
only
sitting.
Italian.
That was the issue. That was the issue. Well, they go through the whole idea, like the other heads of the families wanted to meet to break bread and figure out what the whole situation was about their kids, and it was only Franco who didn't. And to turn out that he's the right one, because he just came through and massacred all the competition in one go. Got them all in one room, killed them. Like she makes this look like child's play, which is why I dug her, because I was like, it's just like the foreign menace that always just makes what we're doing over here look like Hans
Yeah,
Gruber,
right.
you know,
He's...
like so much sophistication because it's so easy to do this because you guys have no idea what's going on here. I told you guys all to meet me at a restaurant and we got y'all in,
That's
in
right.
seconds.
And you want us to sit in the back of the restaurant?
Yeah. Facing the
Okay.
wall, the only people
Face it.
facing the
Okay.
wall. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, this champagne
No one
is
else
on the
is.
house.
That's awesome. None of these people are eating.
Keep bringing me more of this
More
special
champagne,
champagne.
please.
Yeah,
No.
absolutely ridiculous. Frank steals a public bus and breaks into the facility holding the children. He incapacitates the guards and leads the kids to the bus and to safety. All the children are accounted for except for Tommy, Franco, who was taken by the Yakuza. Punisher goes back for him, but almost doesn't make it out alive when the cavalry arrives. He manages to evade several vehicles, hoping to take him and the bus for the kids out, but is ultimately stopped by a police roadblock. They do like the classic, right? Like this is the most dangerous man of all, but he gets out of the bus holding a kid.
Yes.
You know,
See, I'm just I got a big heart. I'll
yeah.
murder everybody, but not these
Yeah,
children.
I'll murder everybody in this world for peace. You know?
I love the fact that like he turns these little kids into little punishers.
Yeah, they're totally down in the bus by the end of this. They're helping take people out. It's a whole
Yeah,
thing.
man. They this one dude is hanging off the side of the bus. They come along, they just rip his hands off it, and you see him get just completely run over by a
Yeah.
car. Like, yo, these two little kids just committed murder.
I would be very interested, and I'm almost certain someone's done a study already. This has to be one of the comic book movies with the most body count, like hands down. Like this, I've never seen so much since this loss of life shown. Obviously, you think of things like Man of Steel, where there's buildings falling down and stuff like that. You got to purport there's people in
Buildings
them.
were evacuated, man. We've talked about this.
Every single one at the
Every
same time.
single one.
There you go.
Okay.
Because
They had
we know how well people
9/11,
listen.
they had 9/11 protocols, man. They knew what they were doing.
It's true. Plus, we all know how quick people are response to government orders. You know,
Exactly.
that's 100%.
Superman would not allow all those people to die and then make out with his girlfriend on the
In the
corpses
rubble,
on top of the rubble.
on the flaming corpses of the rubble. But yeah, my man got caught up in the roadblock. Kids are safe. Tommy can't be found for some reason, and Frank is ultimately arrested. I actually think that this might be one of my favorite scenes. Berkowitz looks like he's seen a ghost as he interrogates his former partner, whom he thought was dead. He tries to reason with him and figure out why all the dead bodies, and they go back and forth about the morality of Punisher's war on crime. Burke seems genuinely heartbroken that Frank never reached out to him and said that he's sick. So once this line came out, everything clicked for me. Like the idea of an addict telling somebody if they're sick, like it started all kind of, again, glimpses of greatness, like flying too close to the sun almost. And I gotta believe Gossett is the one who connected all these dots. I don't know if anyone who wrote this would have connected these dots. But yeah, this idea is like when I was a mess and thought I needed this to live, you pulled me from that. And I'm right here in front of you telling you the same thing. But because of his like cold demeanor, all Frank has for him is like one-liners. Like Burke
Yeah,
is being 100% genuine.
barely mumbling
Yeah.
everything. I'm like, what the hell? Like, who's gossip?
Never.
Berkowitz completely carries the scene.
Yeah.
Frank is just mumbling. I barely understood what he was saying. I was like, what the hell did he say? Is the shoe polish on his face weighing down his jaw?
Right,
Like,
right.
I
He's
can't
got peanut butter in
understand
his
what this
mouth.
exactly. You know, like, why do they give me peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for lunch here?
Damn
This is terrible.
it. I
Can't
told him.
speak. Not even a glass of milk.
But like the scene where he tells him, like, why didn't you come look for me? Like that, there was heart in that moment. Like he really expressed like a betrayal in that moment. And then to me, icing on the cake of the scene is when he starts grabbing Frank. He's like, they were my family too. And I was like,
Yeah, that was
damn.
sweet. That was sweet. I was like,
I
oh
was like,
man.
that was, I was like, yeah. I was like, oh, we getting to somewhere here. And then he basically tells him, go ahead and die. Like if that's what you really want. Like if you want to be this cold, one-liner kind of guy, can't even talk to me, your friend, the person who knew your family, the same family that you're trying to avenge. You can't talk past me. I know them. I knew them. You know what I'm saying? Like all of that is the heart of this. They could have probably told it in a better way, but this scene kind of, you know, shows like, is Frank willing to come off the ledge? Or is this always meant to be a death wish? And I think that that character has that crossroads in any medium, right? Because it starts off as a full blown, you know, laser focused, not even laser. I wouldn't say laser focused. I would say almost like a sledgehammer to organize crime. It starts off that way. And then eventually, when that starts to whittle down, he has to realize, does he want a life for himself? Does he want to live? Does he want to eat? Does he want to have friends? And he has to have that crossroads. Is he going to be somebody who doesn't care about absolutely anybody, or is he going to be somebody that, you know, past his gripes with organized crime, chooses to help other people? And
I just think it's funny because now that you're saying this stuff, except for one glaring difference in the characters, the mindset of both he and Batman are the same.
this is the grim realization of that. In my opinion, this is a grim, and you know, almost like analyzing or examination of this death wish. Oh yeah, you just keep saying it's for good. You just keep saying it's for good, but you're really tortured. You're really tortured behind this very traumatic event. And yes, I guess, you know, the ends justify the means in the sense that, quote unquote, bad people are being killed, but you cannot ignore the fact that that's your only fuel. Your only fuel is to sort of make even this immeasurable toll that you lost in your life, and you can't. So it always ends up being the house always wins, and the next day you go to gamble again. You know, the next day it's about, you know, how many more bodies, you know, until I'm even, until this is even, until I fill this hole in my heart. But because they're not doing it for the right reasons, or at least because they're not healed, that hole is bottomless. So there'll always be another night out on crusade. Right.
But see, I mean, that's one thing you got to, for me, is why I appreciate at least the Punisher in that fashion is at least the Punisher's putting an end to it. Think about how many lives would have been saved had Batman just put a bullet in,
Oh, we're doing Batman no kill rule right here, right now.
yeah, I'm just saying, because think about it. Think about it. Like Punisher walks into Gotham City, and I'm pretty sure kills most of Batman's villains like immediately.
He gets close, but the
And
idea is that
think about how many lives you saved because of that.
I think ultimately Batman believes in the system. I think your opinion on whether or not he should kill depends on whether or not you believe in the system. And I think the system is flawed, but Batman at least is saying, I've done my job to get you here. Now it's the system's job to get you where you're supposed to go. And Gotham has a terrible system. But
Well, I mean,
should Batman be the executioner? And in this instance, like I said, like, does it become, okay, this guy, his cousin, does organized crime, so he got put on a job. His job is to be at these docks and to wash his boat, and now he's getting gunned down by the Punisher because he took a 9 to 5. You know what I'm saying? Like, where do you draw the line in that instance? And because Batman doesn't know where, he can't do it, but Frank seemingly does. Nowhere, even though other heroes have kind of gotten on his case about it.
but see, the cousin of the mafia boss, okay.
Yeah.
The Joker, Penguin.
But why hasn't Gotham City executed these people?
Because they escaped before they could get to
Come on.
it.
Give him better armor. Give them all Batmobiles. They actually did that in one of the comic books. I think it's White Knight. They do a like a thing where they take all his gear and they use it for the GCPD.
Are you
Like what?
serious?
Yeah, they're like, what are you doing? Like, come on. Like, are you here to help us or not?
I hear that White Knight stuff is really, really good. I gotta get into that.
It depends on how much you're willing to blame Batman for things. There's some people who will not, absolutely not. And so it kind of seems like edgy for edge's sake, because it's Joker basically saying, like, Batman tramples all over these rich neighborhoods and then they get paid in insurance after the fact, and they get to keep staying rich and the poor people end up being poor, which perpetuates the cycle of crime and, it starts to deal with any of that. So if any of that questioning bothers you, you'll instantly reject it, right? And be like, no, this is just, philosophically wrong or whatever. But I thought it was pretty interesting.
I got you. I'll check it out. Check it out.
In his cell,
But back to Frank Castle.
Frank is haunted again by his family's death, and Johnny Franco sees that Punisher is set to go to trial for the 125 bodies. Knowing that Frank might be the only one that can save Tommy, Gianni plans to break him out. While en route to court, Leary reads Frank the riot act over how he treated Burke and informs him and the audience that Burke quit the force as the only thing keeping him going was looking for Frank. She curses him out, but he's still unfazed. What do you think about this scene?
Yeah, I mean, who the hell is this chick to him?
Who is she to Berkowitz?
Oh yeah, and I love the fact that yeah, she's like, I became his partner. Like, you've known him for like a
Oh,
week.
she goes, and now I'm here. And I'm like, are you here? I feel
Are you
like I'm not sure, lady.
yeah, it was again, it was a chance for her to like give herself something to do and even Frank gives her nothing, because I'm like,
Yeah.
if he doesn't respond to his buddy, why is he gonna respond to this person who's being even more judgmental than the person who has the right to be
Who knows
judgmental
him
to
less.
him,
Yeah, knows him less. Like
right?
you were just
Like,
saying,
why am I
it's one thing if somebody's judging you, but if they know you, they're gonna kind of read you the riot act. But if somebody
again
doesn't know you and
this was the movie's opportunity to do something different, where it's like, all right, now you have her giving him the riot act after he already did that. Why are we retreading things with a different character who it should be less impactful to? Like, especially when nothing new was brought, except to me to piss him off. Like, oh, this is my replacement. This is you're the new best friend who he's known for a week.
she should have been related to his wife.
Something. Give her more to her character.
I think that could have been kind of cool, right? Like, you're not the only one mourning Judy, or whatever. I think that's the name
Exactly.
of Judy. Something like that gives her stake in the game. It's Maria in the comics. I think it's
I was gonna
Judy
say
in.
Maria. I was gonna say I knew it started with an M. I was like, it better not
Yeah,
be Martha. It better not be
come on. Bro, it's
Martha.
Maria. They go to Puerto Rico. That's what I'm saying. Like they trying to send my man Frank wasn't dumb. That's all I'm saying. But let's see, where's Frank at now?
He gets busted out. He gets busted out.
You're 100% right. Where am I? Oh yeah, suddenly Franco's men save Castle and bring him to their boss. Franco explains Castle's family's death was a mistake and pleads with the vigilante to save his son. And that was it. Like, there was not like a long, teary apology. There wasn't details as to why they accidentally got killed as opposed to not getting killed. There's no like,
Which
every
again
night
would have
I
went
think
when
about it.
which is why I said what I said also, because that lends to what I was saying before. I'm like, okay, if he was late getting to the car, then
Yeah.
that explains why his family got killed instead of him. Like,
Right.
if they were trying to kill him, not the family.
He's
You
all
know,
like,
like
yeah,
Scarface says,
I'm
no
sorry, it was
women,
my
no
bad.
kids, no women, no kids. Look at you now. Look at you now.
You gotta draw a line. But yeah, he's just like, yeah, it was a mistake, bro. So I need to save my son. He's like, yeah, fuck you. That's what he says. So
Yeah.
Franco brings in a restrained Berkowitz, and I'm like, what's going on? Everyone's a hostage everywhere. So now Berkowitz is a hostage. And he says if he doesn't save Tommy, Burke is dead. Castle agrees to the terms but swears revenge once this is over. Castle, Shake, and Gianni begin their siege on the Yakuza compound. Burke tricks his captor into letting him go to the bathroom and disposes of him and his partner with skill. I guess skill is
Yeah,
operative word there.
operative.
Franco and Frank infiltrate the Yakuza headquarters, and Frank is armed to the teeth. He sets explosives around the building and guns down everyone in his way. In the elevator, Franco tells Frank that there's a limit to revenge, to which the Punisher says, I haven't reached mine yet. Shake drops the detonation device for the explosive because he's a drunk, vagrant, homeless man that they trusted with a very serious part of this job. Anyway. But that didn't stop Frank and Franco from gunning down dozens of men when they got out of the elevator, like literally fish in a barrel. They open the elevator doors, gun down these men, they're dead. It's just open and shut case. Shake manages to blow up the power box to the building, so using darkness as a cover, Frank takes out hordes of additional men. I wrote this down just for myself, that one punches him and he responds by just shooting him in the face. And then after shooting him in the face, he just takes a knife and stabs to the right of him through a curtain and kills another man who falls through
Yeah,
like
they
the
just.
Japanese curtain.
This is just where they go through a killing spree, but it was still, as ridiculous as it was still boring.
Yeah,
You know?
I just thought it was hilarious because it felt like they had to keep finding different ways to kill people. Cause he just could walk through here, gun, 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 gun. But they literally set off like boss battles for him, right? Like, now you gotta fight these two martial artists. Now you gotta fight the daughter. Now like they set up like these different, supposed to be different scenarios for him. They're all kind of in the same fucking way, which is really funny, really, interesting. Frank finds himself confronted with a skilled martial artist protecting Tanaka, but he uses brute strength to overwhelm and eventually kill him. When the backup arrives, Frank is against the ropes until he kicks him into a pile of upended swords.
Hey, just like, why are there swords like this?
You shouldn't have left them in this area. He just throws one lucky kick. He's getting his ass whipped the whole time.
The whole
He throws
time.
one lucky kick, and then his opponent lands in a pile of swords.
Could totally imagine that dude being like, the decorator wanted some feng shui. Oh,
Yeah,
stupid bitch.
I told him this statue was
This is
ridiculous.
stupid. This would be the end of me.
Oh my God. And again, I'm sitting here, I'm laughing, cracking up, like this is that I'm like, this is the most ridiculous fight that I have ever seen. But then Well, outside, the police arrive, responding to the various explosions in the area. Burke joins the investigation, finding one of Punisher's signature knives at the crime scene. Franco catches a glimpse of Tommy with Tanaka and chases after them both. But Frank goes hand to hand with Tanaka's deadly henchwoman, her daughter. And it's just absolutely ridiculous. She, like you were saying, stabby earrings, stabby shoes, stabby bracelets. They're just cutting
Yes.
his legs, stabbing him all over. And after this bloody and stabby affair, he resolves it all by just snapping her neck.
That's it. Ha! That's like, oh my
Drops her on the
God, talk about.
ground, and it's done. There's a part where he kicks her through it like a one of those Venetian blind doors or whatever. Kicks her through. She's down. He takes a second to look at her. He sees that he's down. He just walks away. So she gets up and starts whooping his ass
Yes.
again because he was like, he turned his back like, oh,
Fooled
my
you.
work is done. But like the easiest fool. I'm like, come on, Frank.
Oh man. Yeah, she has
Frank,
the
okay.
craziest assortment of weapons. To go back to, I'm just to
No,
rewind
go
real quick.
ahead.
I
Yes,
did
yes,
want
yes,
to
yes.
comment when in the restaurant when she uses her earrings to pin the one guy who didn't
Yes.
drink the drink to the thing. I'm like, how dense are these earrings that she
Yes.
can throw them and then just like stick him to the
Yeah.
wall with them? Because it's not like he's waiting there like that. Like the amount of force to throw these
Yes.
things because they're tiny earrings at his
Right.
hands. To make them then get pinned to the wall. I'm like, man, those things must be made of some serious adamantium or something, man.
And
Like,
it's her thing. Like she does it like for style points. Like this
yes.
is her thing, like her signature earring thing. But she's dead now.
But no, you're right. But yeah, but then in the dojo, she, like you said, she's got shoes. She's got more, I think she has a, like another set of earrings.
Right.
It's
Pulls a blade out of her
ridiculous what they
mouth.
have. Yeah,
Yeah,
right. Tongue ring. Ah.
right. Franco gets to Tanaka, who demands he gets on his knees and shoot himself if he wants his son to live. Again, this is happening, and I'm like, w I love this movie. What a ridiculous whole situation. You finally got to me, but now I need you to kill yourself if you want your son to live.
Like, wait. I think there's a flaw
Yeah.
here.
Yeah.
How do I know? And she's just like, you don't. Oh,
Yeah.
mind you, at this point, she's dressed up like a geisha.
For no reason.
Why?
At one point, she's doing like an interpretive dance, like in the background, and they burst into her party, man. That's what it was.
It's celebratory Tai Chi, I guess.
I don't know. I didn't approve of the white face, but anyway,
Yeah, right?
there was a lot going on, and yeah, she is full. She's in full on evil villain cackle mode. Like she is doing the evil laugh, and she's like, "Put the gun in your mouth, pull the trigger, kill yourself in front of your son." Again, super dark when you think of a Marvel character, any kind of Marvel movie. But Frank tears through the wall and simultaneously throws a knife with such force that it pierces her skull and kills her instantly.
Right in the forehead, and the knife doesn't even is it one of his trademark knives?
I think it was, but it might have been one of the ones from Old Girl that he was just fighting
That's
from
what I
before.
think it was because it looked like a butter knife.
Yeah.
It was just like
Right
that doesn't even look like a
on.
proper throwing knife that should be able to do that.
No big boss battle, no big fight, no big exposition. Knife to the
That's what I'm
head.
saying. This to me is where they could have called it had they set it up in the beginning of the movie that he has some kind of signature kill that it
Yeah.
would have set up to kill her in that same fashion and be like, oh, now you've been punished. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
something. But no, it's so corny. Like he just comes out of nowhere and throws a butter knife at her forehead.
And
Plants
so
right in
I'm
the
like, all of
heart.
this is ridiculous. There's no way it could get even more ridiculous. But
Oh,
I'm severely
but wait,
underestimated.
there's more.
I severely underestimated this film. So Frank is in bad shape, wounded from all the action. So Franco takes the time to outright betray him. He says, thanks to the Punisher, there's only him and that he will have the most powerful crime syndicate on Earth. Him killing Frank ensures that no one will come after his family. So he pulls out a gun. Tommy shows up and distracts his dad long enough for Frank to kick the gun out of his hands. For some reason, they tussle. I say for some reason because the entire fight, Frank is on his back. He's trying to fight him from the ground.
The most boring
It's like a
tussle.
kindergarten fight.
Exactly. I'm like, did somebody choreograph this? Was somebody
Right.
like, hey, look, you're going to hold him. He's going to hold you. It reminded me of that shitty fight scene in Superman 4
Well, they're just grabbing
where
each other.
they're grabbing each other and they're falling like obviously in front of a crappy green screen. This was
Yeah.
two grown ass men just groping each other on the floor. It's like, oh my God,
At one
the
point, he
best you
won't
can come
engage him.
up
He's just
with.
kicking him. as he's on the ground. He won't get
Yeah.
down. Like, so he's just, they're doing like action cuts, but it's just a man standing, kicking a man on the ground. So they're doing like these dynamic cuts, like from his reaction and then Frank's reaction. I'm like, I get it. He's kicking him. He's on the floor. So yeah, they tussle and they fight, both fighting for the firearm, and eventually Frank shoots and kills Franco. He goes to leave, and Tommy grabs the gun and aims it at Frank. Frank turns around, demands that this 8-year-old pull the trigger if he wants to grow up a criminal like his father. He gets on his knees and forces this young child to place the gun against his forehead. Again, I'm watching this. Like, what movie is this? This is some of the darkest imagery in Marvel film history. You know, Punisher telling an 8-year-old, do it, be like your
And
dad.
it's not a small gun, it's a big ass gun.
Yes.
And not only he gets down on his knees, takes it and puts it right to his forehead. Pull the trigger. End my career, please.
And also, you've already been kind of given this kind of inclination that Frank might have a death wish. So he
Right.
might be totally down with this 8-year-old splattering his brains all over
No,
the ground here.
I honestly, and that's a bit of poetic justice, right? That's kind of like relinquishing him of his guilt. Hey, I couldn't save my kids, so I'll let his kid kill me, right?
Yeah.
As a way to say sorry, like this is what I deserve. Like I failed my children, I failed this kid, let him kill me. Little poetry there, whether or not it was intentional, who knows?
I said super, just super dark. And then it gets darker because Tommy just starts to cry. He puts the gun down and
Yeah,
begins
just.
to cry and embraces this man who he's seen massacre multiple people. And you would think that that's enough to, like, boom, button. You put a button on that very wholesome moment. But Frank tells him he's a good boy and he hopes that he grows up to be a good man because if not, he'll be waiting. So now he's
Right.
outright threatened this 8-year-old
You see,
child.
you've seen what I did to all these people, right? I'll come for you.
I just killed your dad. Your dad's dead on the ground, and you next. You may not play around. Again, I don't know what
I
message.
would have totally loved, I would have totally loved had Franco been like, I'm not gonna kill you because like I owe you. You know what I mean? And but yet like he comes out on top. I know that this kind of would may set up a sequel or a franchise, and I don't think that's what they wanted to do with this movie. But I think it would have added some more depth to this, you
I think
know, and
so.
then maybe later on, maybe fast forward and like Frank eventually tracks him down and kills him somehow. Because what it did lead to was just so corny. It was just that fight was awful, the way it ends. Because doesn't he shoots him at one point. And it doesn't seem to faze him,
It looks
but
like
he
he has like a
doesn't.
bulletproof vest or something. It looks like he
Right, and
kind of
then I
just
guess he
shakes it
shoots,
off.
and then later on he like shoots him, I guess, in the side. He gets around the vest, I
Because they
guess.
make it a point, to have him put his hand in his jacket and reach around him to find the
Right,
bullet hole. Because I was like, why don't they just
yeah.
show the bullet hole on the jacket? And it's like, oh, he must have got him
He might,
on the
right,
side.
but it was so anticlimactic, and then just
Yeah,
dark.
like I
Like,
don't know,
oh.
like it's one of those like at the end of Power Rangers, like everything is done and like, everything's on fire still. It's like he took the whole city because you just blew up several buildings and trying to take out this monster. So the cops arrive and are shocked at the carnage and the body count. When Burke gets there, Frank is nowhere to be found, lost to the wind again. Burke screams his former partner's name, but it falls on deaf ears. While no one knows if the Punisher is still around, we see that Frank is back to his ritual and is dead set on punishing the
His
guilty himself.
butt naked ritual.
And he is dead set on punishing the guilty himself if he has to. Dun dun dun. The end. Absolutely ridiculous. I think people should seek it out. We put up a post hoping that people check out the YouTube link, so when they hear this review, they have a little bit of context. I have some people asking me about this episode coming up, and I'm going to point them to this, not only this episode, but to watch that film. It's worth watching for this episode and vice versa. Listen to this episode and then go back and see if we're lying about the ridiculousness of anything we said. And there's still stuff we've left out. There's still
Yes.
absolutely ridiculous stuff and lines that I probably don't want to repeat on the radio when I know some family members are listening. So yeah, I dug it. I guess I was expecting more of like a complete misunderstanding of the character. Like a complete, this has got it closer than I thought it would. You know? I was thinking like
Yeah.
a complete, I'm trying to think of what could, like almost like a Morbius situation. You know, like we
Oof.
just made up a bunch of stuff and none of it really matters. And a lot of these characters you'll never hear of before and never hear of again, but they got that semblance. They got the depression. They got the whole, you know, like they got certain aspects of it. So that dug it. And again, 80s and 90s action is just some of the most ridiculous stuff. Like some of the shots, some of the knife throws, some of the strangulations, the explosions, everything explodes. And every.
Well, I mean, that's one thing that's refreshing about this movie, because
No
nowadays,
CGI,
if
huh?
it's right, it's all CGI explosions, and you're like, it always kind of stands out. But seeing, like, when they blew up that mansion in the beginning, that's a
Yeah.
big ass explosion, and it's just like, well, that's, and it's practical. When they in the bus, when the bus is
Yeah.
being chased down, like all those cars and anything on the side that's blowing up is real, you know.
Yeah.
So that was nice to see, practical effects. You just don't see them anymore. So that was nice to see. Those were pretty well done. So, yeah, I mean, it's 90 minutes. It's 90
Yeah.
minutes. Put it on in the background. Put it on in the
Yeah.
background. You'll hear the
A
corn.
line will a line will have a line will be heard from this film that will
Yes, it
force
will.
your attention. You know,
Like who?
regardless of the multiple ones, you will hear something go, what are they, what, the Arab slave trade, you know, like something's gonna, you're gonna hear something where you're just gonna be like, what? Or some guy talking in Shakespearean riddles. You know, could go either way.
Oh my God. Like I when that first heard him say those lines, I was like, did he mean to do that? And then I rewound it and listened to it again. I'm like, he's purposefully rhyming. Who do you think you are? Etrigan? Like, what are you doing?
I caught that after a while, and then I had to look it up. I'm like, who the hell is this person? Is this somebody that I'm supposed to know? If this like some kind of like third string D-list Punisher, you know, a
Was he?
character? No. He's called Shakes because he has the shakes from being an
Shakes
alcoholic
it
and because
out,
of
yeah.
Shakespeare. Yeah. And again,
Wow.
kind of a cool character conception. Kind of weird to throw him into this. You know, like you can see
Yeah,
him in almost
right.
anything else, you know? You can see somebody like Shakes and Constantine. You know, him hanging out with some fucking vagrant that he, oh no, the ghost went that way. He's the only one that can see the ghost and shit. But yeah, in this, a very strange person. Again, no sympathy for Frank. I care about Tommy a little bit, but he's a little jerk too, so who knows? But yeah, any last thoughts on the 1989 Punisher film? I believe at this point we've spoken about it longer than the actual film itself.
Probably. No, I would say, like I said, just put it on the back, put it on in the background, and you'll get a kick out of it. It's just a dumb movie that it's one of those. I can see a guilty pleasure being something that you just like having on in the background to hear those stupid lines and to watch like the ridiculous kills. And one thing I'll give it credit for is it did push the boundary of the rated R, the practical effects, and I'm hoping, like, in some way, shape, or form, showed people, hey, look, this is like movies like this are what led to, you know, the Blades and even the John Wicks and Monkey Man's and stuff like that, because it's really the same story being told.
Yeah. It's weird how people can take the same character and get so many different flavors out of it. What'd you think of Bernthal's Punisher?
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. I'm so used to calling him Shane.
Oh
Like,
yeah.
you know, he doesn't have to me a household name, even though I love him as an actor and I love whenever he shows up in anything. Like, have you watched that show, The Bear?
I love the bear.
The Bear. Like, I had no idea he was going to show up in that, but whenever he's in it, he kills it. Like, he just steals the episodes that he's in. He's only in like three or
Bro,
four
that
episodes.
fishes episode with the mom,
Yes.
bonkers, absolute
Crazy.
genius
Crazy.
writing, absolute bonkers stuff. But I always tell people that when they told me that the guy who, the only thing I knew him was from The Walking Dead, when they told me that the guy who was playing Shane is playing Frank Castle, all I ever thought about was when he brings out the zombies from the barn or whatever the fuck, and he's like, boom, boom. Why is it still coming? Boom, boom. That's its heart. That's its lungs. Why is it still coming? And all that, like, you can't protect them, Rick. And then you just translate over that to the, You can't protect them, Red. You know, hey,
Yeah,
Red. You're weak.
right.
Your son's weak. Like, you just change over a name, and it's all the same stuff. You know, and then when he shaved his
Essentially.
head, you know, I'm like, oh, this is, oh, he's really good at that. My favorite part of Bernthal's Punisher is that when he's put in a sensitive situation, when he's like meant to talk about something like real or whatever, he's very jittery. He's real good at like darting his eyes around the room and kind of moving his hands like he's uncomfortable, and this is not really something he, like, I think of the time when he's talking to Karen Page, and he's like, if you find love out there, man, you better grab it, you better hold on to it, all right? Because love, that's the only thing that matters in this world. And you better, and
Right.
Karen's like,
Well, no, this is a it's a it's a dude who's lost his mind. It's a dude who's lost his mind, but he's still able to do both sides of that character, where it's like you can be the cold-hearted sociopath, and then you can be the person who's lost, who's just like a person who's been put in a box and now is just trying to survive, you know, and trying to give himself a purpose. His entire purpose was massacred, you know, so I love what he's done with the character, and I look forward to seeing him in Daredevil Born Again.
We're looking like Marvel is willing to grow up with some of his members of his audience, with some of this new R-rated stuff coming out of Deadpool 3, and then you know, what could eventually come out of this Born Again, these street level heroes again. I'm glad that Bernthal's back, but I really want to see what the MCU flavor of Punisher is going to be, because we're still yet to fully see what the vision of Daredevil is through MCU. We got a little taste in She-Hulk, right?
Well, we still have yet to figure out where all these things are. I mean, they're starting to connect, but there's still a lot of things that have yet. There's still a lot of things that are like, hey, what about us? What about this giant hand
I was
that's
about to
sticking out of
say,
the
there's still a
ocean?
celestial in the ocean. Damn it. That's always going to be my
No one has
lie.
made mention of.
That's always going to
No
be my
one.
lie. There's a celestial in the damn ocean. And eventually, they'll reference it one of these days. And the only way you can ensure that you're going to be a part of that news is to listen to every episode of the Major Issues podcast, because you know we'll be covering it here. We cover each and everything to come out of comic books and comic book media. We try to cover the latest and greatest each and every week. And yeah, come back to some of these things and do retro reviews, because some of you guys don't know how good we got it now. Because you could have been back then, and they had to wait 20 years for another Punisher, for another Punisher film, you know,
You would have been
15
thinking
years.
the Red Skull is Italian.
As a matter of fact, it's exactly 15 years from its theatrical debut in Germany to Thomas Jane's Punisher. 15 whole years. So imagine that. Batman gets a bad movie, you get another one in 3. Don't worry about it. We'll reboot the franchise in 3, you'll be back at it. Some of these characters, if they get a bad adaptation, you may not see them for a while, if ever again.
Ever.
We ain't getting Maxwell Lord for a hot minute, bro.
Oh, no, we're not.
I still cry about Cassandra Cain. You know, it's just things, it's just, you know,
Oh.
we just take these casualties. But I believe that we're on an uptrend here. Marvel seems to be really, you know, they seem to have seen the criticism and they want to get back on top. So we'll be following everything that goes on from them, from DC, from all these independent publishers. We're having a blast over here at Comic Book Click, and we've grown our audience through our partnership with Dirt Sheet Radio. And you can find everything Dirt Sheet Radio at comicbookclick.com, and everything Comic Book Click at comicbookclick.com, including every episode of the Major Issues podcast. You can support us by hitting that support Comic Book Click button on comicbookclick.com. It'll take you to our patreon.com/CBC Clubhouse, where for as little as 10 cents a day, $3 a month, you can help us afford the hardware and the software we use each and every week to provide you guys content free of charge. If you want something in exchange for your money, consider buying any merch at our TeePublic store, which is you can get to by hitting that shop CBC in the menu of comicbookclick.com. All the merchandise is made by me. We're actually working on a new shirt currently, so be on the lookout for that. Hopefully that comes out well. But if you can't support us monetarily, consider rating and reviewing us on iTunes. It's how we go up the charts, find out what you like and what you don't like about our podcast. And you know, we're still trying to learn. We're still trying to figure out the best way to give you guys the same experience that we're having on this side. It's been an absolute blast, but we're, you know, fine-tuning the screws and crossing the T's and dotting the I's over here. So yeah, leave us a review. Let us know how we're doing. not only helps us grow as podcasters, but it helps us grow our audience, because if you rate us 5 stars, then when people are looking for 5-star podcasts talking about this kind of content, we shoot right up and then our numbers shoot up. We are going to become the latest and greatest thing to come to comic books and comic book media review and analysis. So make sure you get on the bandwagon before the bandwagon gets full, because it's going to happen soon. I've been to the future where I do become the latest and greatest thing to come to comic books and comic book media, but I can't tell you how we do it yet, because then Berkowitz gets a spinoff and he's played by, yes, you know it, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And no one wants that to happen. So make sure that you get on the bandwagon before the bandwagon gets full and get ready for the final boss to show up any day now. But I think that's all I have here. Like I said, facebook.com/comicbookclick, Instagram at comicbookclick. Follow us wherever comicbookclick is. It was a rough week, but this was a very fun episode. So thank you very much, Mr. Cog, for joining me for this one.
Always a pleasure, sir. Always a pleasure.
But my name is George Serrano, aka the Don.
And I'm Alex Garcia, aka the Cog.
And this was our Punisher 1989 recap and review. And remember, whether you're a cold-hearted vigilante, a murderer with a heart of gold, an 18-year-old with a Glock, or just landed on a pile of swords, remember that we are the Click. And always remember that you, yes, you are worthy.